And it is 12:30 here in beautiful Port Townsend, the town that time forgot. And as usual on KPTZ, 12:30 on Thursday, it is time for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm here with my co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow.
Hi, Taylor.
And we have a guest today.
We do.
We have Council Member Libby Wenstrom with us in her first visit to KPTZ. Libby, thank you for joining us here on KPTZ.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is so. I have many questions, which we've had a chance to sort of talk about. But before I get into asking Libby all sorts of questions, is there anything you want to give us a quick? You want to give us the 30-second city manager?
Yeah, let's do the 30-second
Because we'll never get to it otherwise.
Well, and I've never done a 30-second city manager report, and I know Councilmember Wenstrom can attest to that.
I'm timing you.
but two things I'll mention, because they're the same theme. We might get to that theme today, because it's one of the most important things for us as a community right now. I want to give a big shout-out to the Housing Solutions Network for an event they did last night for kind of their holiday party gathering. It was just a great set of conversations, and it was just good intent and spirit, and I feel like that was a lot of fun last evening, so thanks for that, and to the organization. And also tonight, kind of carrying in that theme, just to get it on people's radar, the Planning Commission is hosting a special meeting. They're calling it the Open Mic Night to come and talk about housing solutions. So please join us at 6 o'clock at City Hall this evening.
It's in Council Chambers, correct?
Correct.
Okay, 6 o'clock, not 6:30.
Does this eat into my 30 seconds time?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, 6 o'clock, not 6:30.
So is it about housing in general? You were saying there's a little more specific.
There is. So I was trying to keep it under the 30-second limit here.
Well, I'd like to know the.
Yeah, so here's what we're trying to do. I think in brief-ish, we have between now and April 1st, to advance a set of code changes that helps increase residential building capacity. It's kind of a technical term. We're calling it tactical urbanism and density in Port Townsend. And so after April 1st, the state will not provide as much of a shield and coverage for appeals through the Growth Management Act and the State Environmental Policy Act. So it's not the only bite at the apple, but we have kind of a little bit of a safer way to advance sensible changes that will allow us to increase affordable workforce and housing in general. And so we want to do that before now and April 1st. And council, including Councilmember Wenstrom, appropriated funding for us to do that with a consultant who we've hired, who is on the meeting tonight and actually doing a number of stakeholder meetings as well to get ideas out there to advance between now and April 1st.
So this is a public, please come. This is the point of the meeting is public input.
Come with your ideas. I've talked with some folks, including some last night, about some of their ideas. And we're not discriminating on good and bad ideas here. The point is to get things on the table of solutions. And then, of course, we need to whittle that down into what we could achievably put into code, updates between now and the 1st. Yeah. I also want people to know, if you're somehow busy between now and April 1st, that's okay, because this is not the first and only thing it's not the only thing we'll be doing. It's kind of a first in a campaign of changes and refinements over the next couple of years that we'll want to do in advance of a big comprehensive plan update that's due by 2025. So it's kind of the first step in a number of opportunities we have as a community.
All right. Well, let's get over to I never know if it's counselor or council member Libby Wenstrom.
Either works.
But if I may, I am just going to, I would prefer to call you Libby.
That's fine.
Okay, good.
So, are you that Libby?
I'm that Libby. Libby.
So, Libby, you've been on city council now for, we're just finishing your first year.
Right.
But this was not your first visit to council chambers, right?
No. I was a reporter for the Leader, and city council was one of my beats. So I've been to a lot of city council meetings, but sitting in the back of the room and scribbling notes and trying to get the city manager to talk to me. So it's a little different. Your perspective is a little different in the front of the room in the hot seat. So,
and presumably your view has changed now that you're sitting in the front and on the hot seat. What has been different about council than you expected?
I think in some ways I went into it with a pretty realistic view of what council did. It's something I'd been paying attention to for a lot of years. And so I understood a lot of the kind of nuts and bolts, you know, the phrase is always how the sausage is made, that part worked about like I thought. One of the things I've been surprised at is how few people seem to understand how things actually work. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody stopped me to tell me that we should really spend the money we're spending on X and spend it on fixing potholes.
This is the bucket argument.
The bucket argument. It's just basically you get certain amounts, buckets of money from certain sources, and you can't always use the money from arts funding or big infrastructure projects or something. You can't use it to fix potholes. So that is I have been surprised at the volume of that particular question in all of its myriad forms.
And you get to answer it repeatedly.
Over and over again.
Which is part of your role in educating the public, which is why you're here.
Yeah. The other thing that I think I've been surprised by is people who are not being very engaged but have really strong opinions, and it may be something that we've been talking about for months and months and months, and then it comes down to the end and council's made a decision, and then they're mad, but it's like, but you didn't go to any of the six previous meetings where there was all this discussion about this. So it's interesting to me that I'd encourage people to get more involved in the front end, because it, particularly with boards and commissions that are often, that's who's bubbling things up to council for decision making.
Oh, right.
And so by the time something comes back from Planning Commission, or something comes back from the Parks, Trails and Trees Board, or something comes back from the Arts Commission, it's already gone through a whole process. So if you're at the last meeting, you've skipped a bunch of the pre-work.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would just be something that I'd encourage people to do. So that, you know, those things are, I wasn't expecting the level of national attention we got this year. I think that was kind of a surprise for this entire council.
Well, I think, you know, for John, it was, he joined and had a global pandemic.
Yeah. Well, we all did.
And then for the new councilors, you know, this summer was rife with strife.
Yeah. Are you talking about all the awards we've won as a community?
No, we are not. No,
but
we are not.
We have won. I guess the other thing that I've been very pleasantly surprised about, surprised is probably the wrong word, but encouraged by, I've been in Port Townsend for 25 years. And for probably the first 15 of those years, you would never have seen the port, the county commission, and the city council in the same room with each other, much less making joint decisions, sharing funding on things, working together.
The
Intergovernmental Collective, which we won an award from the state for.
The state and from the international body of city management. So, that's why sitting yesterday in the cold with Aaron Berg, the director of the port, having lunch, that's how you do that. And of course, I know as elected officials, you all seem to get along really well. Different perspectives, different backgrounds, but actually there's a real, I've said this last time, Taylor, and I said it about city council. The way of working through difficult decisions with different perspectives is modeled very well by our governing bodies.
Right. You did say of the city council that they're working well together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, there are little, it's almost always we tend to agree on the sort of big goals. Sometimes we disagree about the best way to get to that goal. But there's a lot of mutual respect and a lot of kind of hammering things out. And I have heard some people say, well, council almost always all votes together. And it's like, that's because people have hammered out like discussion, and we've had multiple meetings about something, and often by the time it comes to council for a policy decision, the hard work has gotten done. Staff has given a good proposal or
you've had an earlier reading. It's been through a couple of committees.
Right.
It's maybe been in front of a citizens advisory board.
Exactly.
I'll also say too, I mean, the vote, if you're, you know, going to the agenda or the minutes and then like reporting on that, for instance, if you were doing that, you know, 15 years ago, that doesn't tell the full story.
No.
Because a lot of times, even a 7-0 vote, I've heard as I'm watching and trying to, you know, steward and, you know, give advice in my role, I've heard, hey, you know, I've changed my perspective on that thanks to what you've shared, you know. And so 7-0 doesn't mean like everyone rubber stamps something. It actually means there's been a lot of iteration both before the meeting and actually during the meeting to get to yes, which I think, again, is a really good model in this particular time in history to our community and beyond of how to actually talk through issues.
Right, during a period of the lack of bipartisan cooperation.
Yeah.
We have a nonpartisan city council, and they are actually talking about solutions.
Yeah.
That's good news.
And I think that's generally, it's working better than not. So.
Well, you look around. Yeah, yes, I would say yes. I don't want to get myself in trouble with other jurisdictions, but you know, make a few comparisons and then come to a city council meeting. And you know, and I really appreciate that about you, Libby. Is just like you'll let it be known what you're thinking and why, pretty fearlessly in a city council meeting, and people will pick that up and they'll think about it and then they'll reflect. And actually, you've done the same. You've heard a perspective or an argument from a colleague, and like actually, yes, I've changed my mind on that.
I've actually said that in a council meeting, that it's like, okay, you convinced me, and mm-hmm. I will vote for this now, or I will, you know, with this amendment, this will work or something.
That's dialogue and not coming in with your hell-bent, can I say that on the air? Positions.
that one I think you can
okay,
say.
Okay, I'll say it again then, hell-bent, it just feels good. You know, already pre-assigned positions, no interest in kind of negotiating around, you know, into the middle. I think that's a sign of, you know, healthy democracy.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about committees, and so you only have to go to two city council meetings a month, right? That's all
three,
you do.
Three usually. It's two business meetings and a workshop meeting.
That's it.
And
that's all you have to do.
Sometimes we have a special meeting too, but every councilor sits on several committees and boards and things. I've got kind of a funny set of things. I'm on the City Council Finance and Budget Committee.
Which is three city councilors.
Three of us. It's Councilmember Mick Hager and Councilmember Howard and me. Mm-hmm. My other one is kind of a big one. It's I'm the City Council Rep to the Fort Worden PDA.
Oh, no controversy there at all.
And I'm both attending PDA board meetings, but I also have been attending PDA Finance and Budget meetings too. So that's kind of a twofer during the budget season. And that was pretty busy.
Can I add to that too?
I just want to take back my snide comment. Yeah. Because controversy is not the word I meant.
No,
it's an area of that where the council has an oversight role.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and needs to be aware of what's going on.
There's a history of a very unfortunate set of events that we've been trying to course correct. And actually, that's, you know, Councilmember Wenstrom. I'll add to that. Additional, I mean, you're also, you know, you sit with the Financial Oversight Committee often that I pull together for making sure that staff to staff we're working through with both the PDA and State Parks on, you know, financial resiliency.
Well, this is an extra committee.
It's another one.
Yeah, the PDA is really kind of a three-in-one for me. and my other
board meetings, budget meetings, and then this
financial oversight. My other big committee, which, you know, in a different time wouldn't have been such a big committee, is I sit on the Board of Health. It's not usually a big volume of meetings, but there's often a lot of reading and some controversy. I would say that that's generally gotten smoother as time has gone on. And we've actually got a board of health meeting this afternoon. So
let's talk about the reading.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about how much you read each week and maybe what you read that you find particularly interesting.
The council, I feel like I can never read as much as I would like to, although I try my darndest to read the entire packet for every meeting. And the council packet varies, but I would say it's usually between 150 and 250 pages for most weeks. And some of those, you know, there's pages of tables and things where you can skim through pretty quickly. And some of that's pretty dense. Yeah.
And sometimes it's a portion of the packet that you've seen before.
Right.
That's then coming back maybe for a
final vote. Right. And it's actually that I want to call out staff, particularly for finance stuff. They've been the last few things doing red lines where it's like if you've got a version of the budget, which is super helpful because it's like, what changed from this one and last one? I don't have to look at them next to each other. And, you know, your red pen and your sticky notes and your questions and everything. I mostly try to do my reading online for PDFs just so I'm not hauling around so much paper. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for financials, I'll print them out just because it's a little easier when you got 10 zillion things. Then for each of the other committees and boards, particularly for the PDA, there's a similar level of load.
Oh, okay.
So it's definitely a reading assignment. So... And I try pretty hard to show up for a meeting prepared, you know, with a list of questions, with notes on things, and
I know that you, like me, have a dog.
I do.
Is he able to get out enough and get exercise?
She's something of a dog park regular. She's got a group of buddies. We go to the fairgrounds, and you know, we usually take a beach walk every day.
Okay, so you're not.
I'm a good dog mom.
You're finding some work life balance here.
Good. I you know. You got a dog. You got to get out of the house at least several times a day.
It's the reason we get dogs, I think, yeah. is to get out of the house.
Yeah. So she was not a pandemic dog, and she's actually suffered greatly because she's very social. And for 2 years, nobody came over.
Yeah.
And she was pretty sad about that. I like to joke that the reason I go to the poorhouse is because my dog wants to go meet her friends. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's it. And drink beer.
And
your dog drinks beer. That's amazing.
Yeah. She doesn't drink beer, but she will eat peanut shells.
Okay. When you first started, there must have been some things on your agenda that you really felt you wanted to change. And I guess what are those, and how are they going?
I tried pretty hard when I was running to not have a hard and fast agenda, but to have some sort of broader values and goals.
Oh.
And I think I'd actually speak for all three of us who were new in this term, that housing was the number one thing, because I felt very clearly that if we don't do something to change where things are going with housing, we're not going to have a town in 10 years. And all of those wonderful restaurants
won't be the same town in 10
years. And all of the oncology care and the skilled nursing and all of those things that require having a resident workforce, we are not going to be able to provide. So that has been a kind of a laser focus for me. And I feel like, I know it's hard. Things take longer to do than you would think or you would like. But I feel like council has done something, a bunch of small things that are beginning to move the needle. And I see some other things in the work, like this planning commission process that John was just mentioning, that are really going to make some changes over time that are going to make it easier for us to have long-term affordable workforce housing.
Well, you, I know, is it mid-year when you have... you have an offsite, and you try to set goals, figure out what the items are. Housing must have been high on that list.
Very high. In fact, so much so that was really the origin of the first sticky note across the room interactive exercise with department directors and city council to map out how do we want to take on housing in the next couple of years, and let's think about it big picture. And that's where some of these specific things, including what's happening tonight, kind of came from. I mean, this is a
follow on. This is evidence that the tree is bearing some fruit.
Right.
I think so. Now we get to get more. Sorry, go ahead.
And then it was a pretty powerful process. We had a retreat with sort of senior director level staff and council, all sitting around a workshop table together for like, I don't know, 8 hours or something. And one of the things we did was some brainstorming activities of, with a bunch of post-it notes and pens, of just where do we want to be and then what are the steps to get there, and kind of working it backwards, that it's like, oh, if we want to increase affordability, how do we change density? If we want to increase, and not just about housing, but about some other things too, but housing really bubbled up to the top of that priority list pretty clearly. And some of the pieces, it's like, oh, if we want to do a zoning change, what's involved in that? How does this work with planning commission? So kind of working it backwards. And it was a very powerful process. And I tend to be pretty meh about working retreats. This one was working, and we all came out of that just super energized. So thank you, John, for pulling that together, because I think it was a very powerful
Thank you
meeting.
For your very active participation, as I recall.
Is this retreat, I think you encourage public to attend that.
Yeah, it's open to the public. It's because more than four or more than three city council members are attending, it has to be noticed as an open public meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it's inconveniently during a full day, so
right.
you know, it's not so everybody's cup of tea. We tried to broadcast as an additional service, but that didn't work out super well. So, you know, I think for those in the future, you know, while it was recorded and minuted and there's materials and, you know, no major decisions were made, it's a workshop.
It's a workshop, and it's a process.
And it's a process. Yeah. But, you know, even the first year I did this, you know, we used to do this. So I started November 1st, 2019. Mm-hmm. We did our first retreat. I'm pretty sure it was January, the first week of January. And mm-hmm. we tried to figure out, okay, what do you want to do this year? And at the time, I kind of made a little note to myself, like, is this kind of bonkers? We've already decided the budget.
Right.
We've decided the budget,
right.
And now and what do we want to do?
This year, you don't mean next year. You
yeah.
mean
yeah, yeah.
this year. Like, as so, in, like, this week, what are we supposed
so,
to do?
So now it's a mid-year meeting yeah. to talk about what's going to yeah. happen next year.
Exactly.
Right.
And so really, this housing thing is kind of a little ahead of the curve. We're in this year working on it.
We are. And because, I mean, like, not to just, you know, take the bait here, but, you know, it's that urgent. I mean, yeah. it's not like, you know, we haven't been doing, for instance, we do, you know, city has authority to sign, you know, fee deferral and waivers for affordable housing, hookup fees and system development charges and that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, signed $10,000 worth of that just yesterday because that's important. And that's something that the city has been doing for a number of years. So there's a lot we've done to make sure that affordable and you know, housing, you know, has a chance here. But not, dare I say, not trying to insult anybody who previously tried to work on this, but not in a comprehensive, holistic, multi-year way to say, kind of like you know, what Councilmember Wedstrom just said, where are we going? What do we want to get to? And frankly, you know, I'll be honest, there's no silver bullets, and we can't get to where we want to get to in just 1 year. We're right. going to need to do it over multiple years. So let's line that up and actually think strategically about how each move might not get us super far between now and next week, but that stacks for future weeks, and actually we make tangible progress.
And yeah. and I would say that I'm seeing some of that. I you know, I hear a lot, you know, people stop you in the co-op, they stop you on the street, they stop you at the dog park, and they're like, why aren't you blah 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 blah? And it's like, well, we did A, B, and C. And like, oh, I didn't know about that. That sometimes these small things, I'll pick on the parking requirements, mm-hmm. the way code had been. If you were building an ADU, you had to have a separate off-street parking space.
Right, and that which meant has always been a big
a
limitation.
A lot of places that people would be willing to build an ADU, they didn't have that off-street parking, so they couldn't build the ADU. And we've now rolled that back and said, okay, if there's a way to forward here. And it just makes it a little bit more possible to build some mother-in-law apartments that probably wouldn't have otherwise gotten built. That alone isn't going to solve it, but it's another piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the thing is that we've got a big block of a monolithic problem with housing affordability and actually, frankly, even housing availability. Mm-hmm. That the number that I've heard from Housing Solutions Network is that we're about 1,000 units short for the people who already live here right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
I should say, because I've run well past the time I'm supposed to say it, that if you're just joining us,
then you're a little bit late, too.
because you're listening to Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm here with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. And our guest today, thank you very much for coming in, is Port Townsend City Councilor Libby Wenstrom. And we have a few more minutes, and I have also forgotten to let folks know that they can email questions to dj@kptz.org. Yeah. And I do have one that I just briefly want to ask. The question has to do with what kinds of expectations can people have when they email staff in terms of how long it's going to take staff to follow up with them.
And good question.
Do you have any kind of tips that yeah. might make that easier for all involved?
That's a great question.
That was my add-on.
And I'm going to give a city attorney answer, and that is, it depends. and I think because, you know, one of the things, and we talked about this last week, one of the things that we are starting to pilot is closing to the public City Hall on Fridays.
Right.
But no staff member is going to be off that day. We're right. going to be working through the work. And what we're trying to do is say, how do we get better at serving the public who deserve to be served? And that we, you know, that's part of why we're in the gig. But to do so more efficaciously, more effectively, more efficiently. And so that means, you know, if someone says, the example I often use is like, there's a pothole problem over here. Well, if we just went, okay, hit the big red button, we got to go over to Landis and fill thousands of potholes or even just one. And then the next call is, oh, actually over near the fort or over in Coon Street, we got to, you know, we'd be running, chasing fires all day.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is get better at saying, okay, what's critical must do right now? Is there a water main break? Let's get on that. And then actually, what can we do? You know, say there's a group of, I'm just going to use the pothole example, in a neighborhood that we'll make sure, you know, next week we'll go get all five of those. Mm-hmm. with one trip instead of five separate trips. And I think doing so might make one person upset because they said, hey, I was here first. I made that request last week. But what it essentially does is it makes us able to serve more people better over the long term. And ultimately, everyone will win.
Okay.
It really depends on what the request is.
Yeah.
You know, staff are, you know, I get probably between 300 to 600 emails a day. And, you know, that trends differently, different days of the week. But, you know, I try to do my best to at least respond or delegate within the week to something. Of course, if it's high emergency, I'll probably call that person pretty quickly. So everyone makes their own determination. I think with our front desk, I know that you can call or you could submit a citizen concern or a resident concern. Those are triaged and those are prioritized. So it really depends on what the request is. But if you're not getting any response back and it's been a week.
I'm sure that's where this question came
exactly.
from.
Exactly. I read between the lines there. You know, and if you haven't got a response within a week, you know, I would hope that there'd be some assuming good intent. Like there might be a reason. Maybe there's fires being put out right now. But patiently come back and say, hey, I had this request last week. And if you still don't hear from that, feel free to escalate. But realize, you know, we've been short-staffed for a while. We're trying to deal with a lot of needs, and there's high expectations. We're getting better at that, but we need to work more in partnership with the public instead of as I demand this tomorrow, because that's not gonna frankly get anybody what they need.
Yeah. What about mailing city council people? Is that something you get a lot of?
I'll get on my soapbox about this. One of the least effective things to do is to email all of city council together, because if you do that, we can't reply because that could accidentally make a public meeting, essentially, or it could be a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. So what typically happens is somebody emails the entire city council, and then the mayor picks those up and reply, whose job it is to pick those up, but realize that he's juggling 16 other things, and David's even busier than the rest of us because he's got some duties that we don't have to do, and one of them is responding to this.
So if
you have a particular issue, it helps to do your homework. So it's like if you send me an infrastructure question, I'm not on the infrastructure committee, and the first thing I'm going to do is say, oh, well, you should really talk to somebody on infrastructure. If you send Aislinn a finance committee question,
right,
she's going to send it. You know, so it helps to know which committees people are on. And it also helps to send it to two or three people or to just send it to the mayor directly. You can short circuit some of that. The other thing I'll say on the soapbox is if you want something to be part of public comment for a meeting, don't just email city council directly. That will not put it as public comment. If you wanted to send it public comment, email publiccomment@cityofpt.us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know.
So that those are two kind of separate streams. We do read those emails. So, I mean, I see them, but it doesn't always mean I can reply.
Okay.